Welcome to Keeping Up with the Kick-Ass Canadians. My guest today is writer, director, and producer Richard J. Lewis, whose work includes the films Whale Music and Barney's Version, as well as TV shows like CSI, Designated Survivor, and most recently, HBO's Westworld and ABC's A Million Little Things. Richard, thanks for joining me.
That's nice to be here, Amanda.
I want to start by congratulating you on the multiple Emmy nominations this year for Westworld, including Outstanding Drama Series. The show has been a massive hit, and I'm just wondering if you can, for anyone who hasn't been following along, briefly talk about the premise and then explain what drew you to the production.
Well, you know, the premise is what drew me to the production, actually, because it's such an excellent one. You know, the movie in the 70s, based on the work of Michael Crichton. He also directed it, by the way, and we know him from so many different things, including Jurassic Park and ER and many, many other things. The premise is really about a theme park where humans go to interact with AI intelligences, and they set this kind of virtual reality game in motion, where the stakes are very high, and humans are allowed to kill and screw and do whatever they want to the AIs, but the AIs cannot retaliate, and that's the departure point of the series. And I was drawn to this because first of all, the concept is terrific and huge, and speaks to a lot of things that are going on in the world. But also I had a partnership with one of the creators, the co-creator, Jonathan Nolan, the other being his wife, Lisa Joy. And I had a relationship with him from the television series Person of Interest, in which I was a producing director on for three seasons in New York City.
Is there anything, I mean, you talked about it being relevant today. Can you speak a bit about the show's intended message? Because I know there's a lot of back and forth about that among viewers.
Well, I think ultimately we're trying to point to the foibles and the follies of mankind, and I think we're trying to say a little bit about where we're headed and what we should be afraid of and what we should try to avoid. But ultimately, I think there's a sort of a pessimistic view of the human condition, and I think we're kind of heading towards a apocalypse, and I think that's reflected well in the writings of John and Lisa. And I think that basically they're trying to not just warn us, but this is a story that's been told over and over again, in which man's boastfulness and his pride get in the way of actually seeing what he could be or what he could do and how limited he really is, or she.
Yeah. You talk about the pessimistic outlook, the apocalyptic undertones or overtones, and that I read about the Westworld set going down and the fires going on in California right now. First of all, I'm very sorry to hear that. Can you speak to that as far as...
Sure. That's a very nice segue, Amanda. we are just getting, I think, just sort of emerging from the trauma of that. It's still, going on terribly, but I think... So the evacuations have been lifted to some extent in the Malibu communities. And this is, of course, the worst wildfire season in history. Last year, the same thing happened where it was very dry. There's a lot of drought and a big, big drought. And there was a lot of wildfires and many hundreds of thousands of acres went up in flames. We had to shut down a couple of days on Westworld and season two. There was ash in the air. There was soot in the air. It wasn't healthy breathing. We all went home. This year, I think it's far worse. I mean, what's happened in Paradise is just horrible. We have part of the trade-off. You know, it's a beautiful place to live, Southern California, Northern California, gorgeous place to live. But you have things like earthquakes, mudslides, and fires. And ultimately, they are extremely, extremely damaging to the environment, to everybody.
Can you direct people to anywhere they can go to help? I know redcross.org is one great place. Is there anywhere else people can go to if they want to help people recover from this?
I think there's a few places that there are that they can put their efforts in. The California Fire Foundation supplies aid to victims. There is the California Community Foundation, Wildlife Relief Fund, which is located in Los Angeles. There's the Los Angeles Fire Department. They can go directly there, United Way of Greater Los Angeles. And then, of course, the American Red Cross. So there's many, many places. They just have to go online and check it out, and you can make a donation and then help people to relocate and to, you know, try to get back on their feet.
Yeah, thank you for that. Do you know if the fire on the set will delay production for season 3?
You know, that's a set that we use peripherally, so it's kind of a little bit misnomered in the press, because it was the Escalante set, and it was where the Bacchanal party took place, and essentially it's sort of out of play for season 3 anyway. So we're not planning to go back there.
Can you share any secrets as to, or insights as to, what viewers can expect from season 3 of Westworld?
Well, we have a fabulous new actor named Aaron Paul. And if you watch the trajectory of season 2, you can kind of imagine that we may, maybe go into some new places.
So tune in to find out. And you're also directing several episodes of ABC's new show, A Million Little Things. That's described as an American family drama. Is there anything else you can say about that?
Well, yes, it's quite different. I think I took the job because it was so different than Westworld. It's at the core of this show is really a group of friends, which one of the core people has committed suicide, and it's their efforts to deal with that suicide and how that basically instigates a series of emotional adventures for every one of these friends. And it's one of those shows, such as This Is Us, it's like a big chill, where we deal with the landscape of the human heart, and that's what I love about it, because it's so it's a deeply moving show, beautifully written by DJ Nash and David Marshall Grant. And it's a phenomenal piece of storytelling, because it's so simple. It's just right to the roots of our human interaction.
What's your approach when you come in to direct a TV show? Because as opposed to with a film where it's one director most of the time, you've got different mm-hmm. directors, different mm-hmm. episodes. So how does that work for you as far as leaving your own visual aesthetic or working with actors who've been developing characters sometimes for years?
You know, I try to do two things. I try to bring whatever I can to elevate the hour. I always take an approach like as if it is my feature film, like it is an hour of my film. And with the caveat that I leave room and space for the actors to create their characters and the showrunners to get the kind of show that they want to get. I don't try to reinvent the wheel, although if I see the need to take the show in a different direction, I will express that and try to articulate that. I think I'm successful as a director on TV shows because I kind of I'm somewhat bold in my approach to the episodes.
Well, you've also taken that bold approach to a recent music video for Canadian recording artist Liam Russell. How did that come about?
Thanks for mentioning that. That's great. He's a close friend, and his wife is a close friend. I've watched their careers burgeon, and Liam just gave me a call, and he said, I know this is a big request, but would you want to direct a music video? And I used to direct music videos, and I'm a big fan of music. I'm really into music. So I just was like, let me hear the song. So he plays me the song. It's a beautiful piece of work that is about a small little place in Alabama. And I just thought it was really kind of a nice piece of Americana rock. So, and for those of you who are not familiar, Americana is American and Canadian combined.
What's the song called?
Oh, it's called Half Chance Alabama. We shot it in a really cool little studio in Sherman Oaks, or I know, it was Van Nuys. And then we went out on to into Westworld territory and basically shot some big open landscapes. And it really turned out nicely, and I'm hoping lots of people can watch it, and you can look at it at Liam's website, liamrussell.com, or you can see it on Facebook. Again, Liam Russell on Facebook.
Well, you mentioned that music is a big part of your life these days. Is there anything else that you're either currently working on or planning to start working on involving music?
There's two things. Literally, I'm actually writing music, so I'm I'm in the process of setting up a studio and making my own stuff, which I love to do.
Oh, wow.
As a hobby. You know, all directors want to be rock stars. Rock stars want to be filmmakers. The grass is always greener. Anyway, but I'm also working on a project that basically tells the story of Keith Richards' arrest in Toronto in 1977, and so that's a really cool project that I'm dabbling at right now. So when it gets a little further along, we can talk about it more. But right now, I'm just sort of playing with it. Yeah,
and that'll be for a feature.
It involves Margaret Trudeau and all sorts of a whole cast of characters.
Wow! And do you have that in mind as a series or a film?
Don't know yet.
Well, that sounds fascinating. I can't wait to hear more. Thank you so much for your time. And I want to wish you and everyone else in California a swift end to all of this and a swift recovery.
Thank you for having me on your podcast, Amanda. Always a pleasure to talk to you and fellow Canadians.